Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're going to do a run-through of our tiers here. Again, this is going to be a series of podcasts here talking about quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. The initial hierarchy of assets talk is more... I think it's some market stuff, right? That's kind of, I think of tiers and hierarchy of assets a little bit differently. Hierarchy of assets is basically a blend of some of the research from the book. And then you sort of blend that with, prior accomplishments and the like. And what you're searching for is basically kind of like the most durable assets, right? That's kind of what you're looking for, right? And then kind of the bets that you want to make as asset types. Tiers are a little bit different in that they are more looking for types of specific players that look alike. Okay, so that might be across different hierarchies, right? There might be cores and stars and contributors all in a tier. Right, and what's going to basically make those different players different is their market value, right? So it's not always going to show up, right? Sometimes there's going to be a lot of overlap. Sometimes there's going to be vast disparities, and those vast disparities are where we really try to tackle them. So I think that tiers is a very good way to think about arbitrage, right? It's a good way to think about like pricing of different types of players. And again, do you want to take we'll just blend the two. Do I want to take a star bet on a player that I probably could get at a core type price, right? That's kind of what we're doing, right? So it's a little bit of a blend. Again, one of the things that I think with the hierarchy, you can't have everything, right? We can try, right? The ultimate goal is to have everything, but a lot of times you can't. You know, some of the fixing it series stuff, some of the things that have consistently come up is like you have to sacrifice some positions to be good at others, right? And that's a question of like, biggest bang for your buck, and what's the cheapest way I can sort of replace this at a low cost, right? Those sorts of concepts. So you can't always get away with having everything, right? You can't go on vacation, have the best home, right? Have the best cars, go kids to private school. You have to balance, right? And you have to balance, assuming you've got, limited means. You have to live within your means. Dynasty is the same way. Right, dynasty is the same way. So it's about optimizing, and that's really what tiers will sort of allow you to do. Hey, can I borrow from this spot, right, in my roster, this player, and strengthen at other spots? And so I think the two of them, that's how they blend, right? If you're going to start from a team building process, I would generally look at hierarchy of assets, and then I would think about looking at tiers as a way to sort of it's a little bit of a price check, a little bit of like, hey, here's where the market's inefficient, right? I think it's really exploring inefficiency. So I do want to just sort of, as we begin tiers, and you think, well, Jordan, haven't we already covered this? Yeah, but we are covering tiers in a way that is, I think, more optimized towards cost and sort of exploiting that range of dynasty. So going to go through this. Again, there's going to be some blend as we go over. There's going to be probably 10 plus podcasts in this series across all the positions. And it'll allow me to talk about some trades, some different things I like about different players, right? Sort of hit all this stuff. Again, this is a time of the year where we really like to hit on a lot of veteran content. So that's kind of a preview of what this is. And so I figured I'd just drop this at the beginning of the quarterback one. And it can kind of help you with all that. So all right, here we go. Looking at the Supermax quarterback tier. Okay, so again, you can find this all on the website. And I think, right, there's very few debates that I think are as easy to understand as this one. Mahomes is at one. Josh Allen is at two, in my opinion. And then it's a pretty big tier break. I think that's pretty clearly the order that I would go in. I don't necessarily think that there's that's 100% what is going to happen. But I feel pretty confident that that's going to be what will happen. Allen 1, Mahomes 2, Mahomes 1, Allen 2, right? Fantasy Calc, for example, has Mahomes at 2 right now and Allen at 1. I would take Mahomes ahead of Allen, but they're the top two guys, right? I would take Mahomes first and Allen second, but do what you will. I do think it's a tier break after that. I think when you start looking at guys after that, that's kind of where you begin to, where you have some of this, where you have some debate, right? Where you really do think about, you know, what is, you know, what, again, if you're playing within tiers, if you're playing within the hierarchy of assets, you think about, you know, hey, these profiles are the same, but you can move between them. You can pay to move between them, but you have to do it in a way that's reasonable. I talked about that. It's in the book. Larry did a really good job of writing about that in this edition as well. So, you know, thinking about really balancing between the two. I think there's a couple of ways that I would sort of go about this particular tier. Burrow's in this tier now. Right? He's up. I had a little bit of skepticism, a little bit of doubt, primarily just living off good variance was really the concern that I had. And I just didn't want to sort of be paying all the way up at the top of the market when I thought there was a lot of downside risk. We've seen primarily that has come back in terms of volume. It has gone way up. So I'm pretty excited about that. In terms of the volume going up, I feel a lot better about the bet. And I think he's fine in this tier. Yeah, I do think he's about the same age as Josh Allen. Josh Allen has begun to suffer a little bit of the, you know, the winner's curse or the curse of success. Primarily because what happens when you get paid is you lose the ability to have elite players around you. You know, it becomes very difficult to do that. Right? We've seen this with the most stark example is Tyreek Hill leaving Kansas City. I think that's a very clear one. You know, we've seen it with, it hasn't really happened as much. Like, there's not a clear example of it happening with Buffalo. Like, they lost Cole Beasley and some other, they weren't really built that way around, like, a key star that they were going to lose. Dallas is a good example. They lost Amari Cooper. Like, it's really tough to pay a really high-priced wide receiver and a quarterback and sort of maintain roster balance, right? And Burrow hasn't had that happen to him yet, right? So I don't think, personally, I don't think it's a good idea to pay a quarterback and two wide receivers, like, top of the market prices. You just sacrifice too much in terms of where you can build otherwise. It's like $100 million. And that's like, I think that is like 40% of the cap this upcoming year, to give you an idea. Again, that's maybe as the cap sort of goes along a little bit more, that'll feel less, right? Maybe you don't necessarily have to pay it this year, right? But that's $100 million is 45% of the cap this year. That's a lot of money, right? So it becomes, hey, is that a tackle we can't pay? Is that defense we can't pay? That's a lot of it. So I do think, again, no matter what decision you make in terms of how you allocate the non-quarterback money, the life for Burrow is going to be more difficult in the future than it has been to date, Okay. And the reason why you pay a quarterback is because they can overcome that. That's what you have to do. So I do think like that's going to happen to Burrow, and we have to be sort of cognizant of that fact. So he is up there. Again, if you said over the next 2 or 3 years, does he begin to look a little bit more like, you know, just think of what has happened to Dak Prescott, right? Has lost some talent around him, right? Some of the talents they had didn't really age that well. And you know, guys like Gallup haven't come through, and that's what you have happen when you have a really good top three and you lose one of your top three, and then your other one of those top three becomes injured and doesn't make it all the way back, and ultimately that hurts your offense, right? But that is something that becomes more of a problem when you're paying your quarterback a ton of money instead of paying him on a rookie deal, right? So Burrow's gonna be, we'll have to see how that sort of looks like. I think it probably looks more like Prescott than it does what has happened, you know, the first couple, you know, these past 2 years, where it feels like everything Cincinnati touches is gold, because A, they've hit in the draft, and B, they've got all these guys on cost control contract, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, right? Like between the two of them, they're going to make $50+ million, right? So, yeah, I mean, this is as the market's going to just explode for wide receivers, this team with two really good ones is going to be is going to be put to the test a bit. Yeah, and you know, for example, a guy like Tyler Boyd, who ultimately that contract's aged pretty well, you're going to lose a guy like him. Like, you can't pay that money, right? So this will be an interesting thing to see how Burrow ages with that. Again, really good player, but I don't think he's necessarily immune to the forces with which come at a highly paid quarterback. Next up in this tier is Justin Herbert. He is at quarterback 5, according to Fantasy Calc. I think Herbert he's right. There's a couple of different ways you can look at drafting guys. I tend to lean towards, and the numbers would suggest you lean towards, avoiding the big miss. Okay. Other people will say, hey, I need the big hit. And that is how you get situations where Justin Fields goes really high, right, where he's at quarterback 8. I think up at this range of the position, you aim for outside of Allen and Mahomes, what you're trying to do is not miss big, right? So I think if you're trying to not miss big, Herbert, when you drafted him at quarterback 3, even though he finishes quarterback 10 or so, you know, in season-long points, that's a success from there, okay? Because what you're trying to avoid is the big miss, right? You're trying to avoid a Russell Wilson-type outcome. You're trying to avoid that sort of thing, right? And, you know, Justin Herbert hitting one right in the fairway, or, you know, maybe it's in the first cut of rough, if you will, in year one from quarterback 3 in offseason costs last year, it's fine. But what happens is he drops a little bit in price because Burrow was excellent and Jalen Hurts was excellent. So I think, like, if you told me coming into the season, like, hey, you know, Justin Herbert's going to be, you know, get you another hit, sort of going to be on the board, going to be certainly a part of a solution for you at quarterback, but maybe not necessarily have a huge ceiling this past year. Again, a lot of that I think is the lack of weapons, which again, they had Keenan Allen hurt, Mike Williams hurt. Again, that's a cautionary tale about what happens when you lose elite playmakers. You know, I don't know if necessarily elite, but very good playmakers, we'll say. And that's a cautionary tale. That's what happens. That's you. Production goes down, right? That's a cautionary tale about what happens. And so Herbert, we saw that with again, but we know that he can sustain quarterback 1 production. And that's kind of the floor for him, right? This is probably a floor case for him, like a finish right around 10. This is a let's not say necessarily say a bad season for him, but this is probably representative of what you would think about his floor would be, assuming he's healthy, for the next like 3 to 5 years. So you feel really confident in that. So excited about him there. Again, if there's a market for him to be potentially open, I am interested in that as an acquisition, right? He's certainly an acquisition guy. Next up, you have, in terms of the price of them, Kyler Murray is actually the next most expensive one. He's a quarterback 9, according to Keep Trade Cut. That is behind, you know, Herbert's at 5. 6 is Lawrence. 7 is Lamar Jackson, who's not in this because he's not on the contractual security. 8 is Justin Fields. 9 is Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray's, you got to be realistic that 2023 is probably a lost season. And I think one of the things that we'll think about all offseason is sort of how to address that, right? How to make that bet. I think there's a couple of things that you can do. If you have him, you know, going up and paying for more security makes some sense. Right? I think I saw a deal as recently as this week where it was like him and 103 and there was another like pretty good piece in it, and it went up to like Mahomes or Allen, and I thought that made a lot of sense, consolidating that. I would do that type of deal, right, where you're moving up, because A, you're going to lose this season, a lot of the season, if not the whole season. And we, and again, his contract stuff is coming due, so we don't necessarily know what he's going to look like without a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. Those splits have not been great. Because in total, they have played, Murray has played 31 games with DeAndre Hopkins. He's played 26 games without him. It's about, the difference between those is about a 1.1 yards per attempt. He throws for more yards with Hopkins. Like, that shouldn't be particularly surprising. I would say, I would caution, out of sample would be the times when Hopkins has not played, that was his rookie year. So, right, there was time in that season where they just didn't play, and or where Hopkins didn't play, and that was Murray's first season. So I wouldn't be like super, like I don't think it's a super damning thing. It obviously doesn't help him. It'd be better if he was there, obviously. But I don't think it's like, if people make this out to be like a huge thing, because I do think there's a pretty good chance that Hopkins gets traded. I don't think it's a huge, I don't think it is going to be the like damning thing that that it's made out to be. Right, that would sort of be the thing that I would say about Hopkins. So just know that that's going to come. I might wait to make sort of a move on Murray until after there is a some sort of Hopkins transaction. That would probably be the thing that I would think about doing, because just like I think that the market could drop on him. So yeah, that would be the overall caution that I would have, and the overall probably the play that I would have on him would be that. And if you look, like, for example, Kyler Murray was 6.9 yards per attempt in his rookie season without Hopkins, and then it took a leap afterwards. So yeah, so that's I think overall the thing that I would say. I think it doesn't help him, but it's probably not going to hurt to the extent that the market thinks it is. So maybe we wait to make a pounce on Murray until after the Hopkins thing. I did pull up some recent trades. Like, there's probably a buy low window on him. If not a ton of stuff recently. And it's tough to say sort of the exact value of these, because we don't have the exact underlying picks. But Eckler, Keenan Allen, Elijah Moore, and Kyle Pitts for Kyler Murray and Khalil Herbert. That's actually two tight ends. I think that's probably an overpay, given the fact that Pitts is in that deal. Barkley, Curtis Samuel, Dallas Goedert for Kyler and a second. That's also two tight ends. So Goddard gets a bump there. That, again, feels like, it feels like you should be able to get him cheaper than that. Again, maybe you have to optimize the calendar, would be kind of the recommendation. again, it's tough to say how valuable this one is without the knowledge of the picks. But Bailey Zappe, Khalil Herbert, Bateman in a first. Like, if that's 101, maybe you flinch about that. Yeah, I don't know the underlying ones. I'd be a little cautious on that. There's one here for three firsts over the two this year and a one next year. So I think there's a variety in there. Again, once we get knowing the underlying picks, I think we'll have a little bit better idea. Daniel Jones, Brandon Cooks, and Dre Greenlaw is another one. So I do think that there's going to be a variety of different ways to explore Murray. I'd probably wait until there's a Hopkins trade. I think that's going to be probably the time you buy the lowest. And I think you have to have a play for him, you know, for 2023. You know, in prior years, like last year when without Watson, we were able to kind of buy low with thinking that he was going to be out by sort of blending him with Brady. Right, blending him maybe with like a Derek Carr, someone like that. I don't necessarily know if we're going to have those great options, right? I mean, if Rodgers were to walk away, if Brady were to walk away for good, it seems like Brady's walked away. I wouldn't necessarily count on that if the pass is any indication. But I would probably be careful before I spent like a pick at the turn on Kyler Murray without that clear option in play. Maybe Ryan Tannehill's an option, but you know, it's tough to say right now. We don't have those clear outs. You know, if Rodgers comes back, we get some clarity on Carr. You know, heck, if Andy Dalton's a starter, right? Like, there's some ways that you could potentially blend it and, you know, eat up maybe a half a year or, you know, three quarters of a year in the hope that Murray gets back. But just sort of be cognizant of that as your team building process. All right, next up, then you got Watson. He's at 10 in terms of his quarterback ranking over at Keep Trade Cut. At Fantasy Calc. It's a tier break there. So Murray's 16 overall. Watson's 23, and then Fields is quarterback 8. He's at 10. Then Murray's at quarterback 9. He's at 16 overall. And then Watson's at 23 overall, and he's quarterback 10. And then Prescott is quarterback 11 at 27. So you start to see a little bit of a gap. Again, I think that gets compressed as startup drafts go along. But for what that's worth, that gap is there at present. You know, I think with both Watson and Prescott, you know, Prescott's a clear buy low for me, right? For a lot of the reasons we talked about, I think it's a little bit unfair. You got to kind of grade these guys on a bit of a curve, would be like, I think the one thing that I would say, because as projections, right? Because Prescott was probably playing with his worst supporting cast this year, would probably be what I would say. I don't know, maybe some last year too, but over the past 2 years, it's been pretty rough in terms of supporting cast. You know, without this year is definitely, I would say, the worst because he didn't have Amari Cooper. You know, and we see that, right? This is his lowest yards per attempt since 2017. So I would be, I'm a buyer still, right? I still think that he's a, again, what are you trying to accomplish? I don't want to miss, right? And I think that that's a good bet. There's a lot riskier bets going higher. And so that gives me a lot of faith in his price point. So I am bullish on both Prescott and Watson sort of at that 10, 11, right? That range right at the end of the quarterback ones. And then, you know, I they're a clear quarterback two type plan in your team builds. I would not really try and wait to the third round. I got like Prescott. I think you sort of do that in the second round, and you have to kind of, because then it's a huge tier break after that. To me, anyways, you have Tua. They're close in market value wise. I'd much rather have Prescott just because he's a much surer bet to me. And then you get into guys like Trey Lance and Goff, right? So that's a big break. I would say round two is probably where I'm going to go hitting those guys, and I'm not going to wait until much after that. So that's kind of the plan, the angle that I would have. For some Prescott trades here, Cousins, Juju, and a first. Again, not entirely sure what that value is. I think I've talked about this one. Prescott and Gallup for Matt Corral, Sam Darnold, and Devonta Smith. That's a clear yes. Prescott and Daniel Jones for a first. I'd be curious. That's got to be like 101 or 102. I understand that deal. I would probably try and pawn off Jones and, yeah, do that. Like, I get that, especially in Superflex. Like, that's probably about right. I would probably look to recoup some of that cost from Daniel Jones if I was doing that deal. You know, make it a three-teamer, if you were to think of it that way. Mac Jones, Pickett, Bateman, and Romeo Doubs for Prescott and Kirk. I mean, that's a clear winning trade. Like, that's an excellent trade that person made. So that's one. Jordan Love, T. Higgins, Jonathan Taylor for Prescott, Mixon, Christian Kirk, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think you're getting the best quarterback in this deal, without question. You're getting the best wide receiver in this deal. Like, that's a good construct typically, right? If you're getting the two longest term bets at the safest positions in a deal, like, that's usually a good way to go, would be what I'd say there. Again, Jonathan Taylor is very valuable, but that's a clear construct in the Prescott favor. You get into some like him and Lamar Jackson, and there's Prescott and Chenault with Lamar and Pattis. With Alexander Mattison. Like, that's kind of what your flavor is at quarterback, right? And, you know, we'll talk about this in some of the other shows. You can have a guy like Lamar Jackson over a guy like Prescott. That's fine. You just have to understand it's a little bit different of a profile bet and a little bit different security bet. I think ultimately Lamar Jackson's going to get paid. I think someone's going to pay him a lot of money, and I think he's going to be a good long-term bet. We just haven't seen that yet. And in the wake of the Russell Wilson trade, we haven't seen a ton of like in their prime quarterbacks get moved, so we don't have necessarily a great sample of, hey, what happens when that happens. But enough of a pause about that experience with guys that are sort of not quote typical players, right? Not typical quarterbacks. Obviously Wilson's a little bit undersized and has some difficulty sort of throwing at different parts of the field. Lamar Jackson is, we've seen plenty of coaches sort of screw up a guy that can run. So I'd like to sort of see what that looks like first, right? And before they start sort of jacking him up, I'd like to see how that goes. Would sort of be the risk profile bet there, why I don't have him as a supermax as of yet. So, and of course he doesn't have a long-term contract. So those are really the ideas there in terms of how I'm thinking. Again, I'm interested to see like if a Watson window opens up. Like, I'd be interested to buy back on that. Tannehill in a first, Justin Fields in a second for Watson in a third. That's funny because that's actually vice versa, right? That's not what you would expect. There's a Watson for Kyler Murray. I would be interested in probably taking the Watson side on that. There's plenty of risk on both sides of that. Someone actually paid Murray and Javonte Williams for Watson. I'd look to sort of use that as a vehicle to get something back if I was getting Watson. I think that's a bit of an overpay. There is a, you know, there's some Tannehill and Davante Adams. This was like sort of at the end of the year. There hasn't been that robust of a Watson market. I think one of the things with Watson is people that bought him probably aren't scared, would be what I would say, right? Just think of yourself. Like, people who bought him, people that were in on him, probably not scared off by what happened. So that's probably, you probably won't see this huge buy low window on Watson based on what the data shows right now. So that's your group. Again, there will be other guys in this. A Hurts extension, a Lamar Jackson extension. We'll vault these guys into this, probably. We'll sort of see how that all works. But I would say, you know, there's a tier break between after Allen and Mahomes, and it's worth sort of exploring going from Watson up, and something that I will probably try and do in a couple of spots where I have him. So same with Prescott. Like, they're both, I think, good long-term bets. I'm not sure they necessarily have the elite ceiling of guys like Mahomes and Allen, which I'm willing to pay for. Again, always moving up at the quarterback position. All right, that's going to do it here for this edition of the Supermax Quarterback Tier. We'll have more here coming forward. And until then, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.